90.3 KEXP online all over the world at kexp.org. You are listening to Audio Oasis, the Northwest Music Show. My name is Charlize. I'm your host, and it's now time for a performance by Natasha Cometto on KEXP. Natasha Cometto on KEXP.
Tell me you want me. nothing that can stop me now. She leads me down a painted hallway to the darkest hallway we can find. She has me in her hands before I know there's any thought that's in my mind. She whispers, I am gonna make you mine. Everything, you have all the things, and you are everything, got me on a string.
KEXP. You are listening to a performance by Natasha Cometto here on Audio Oasis. You just heard On a String, and before that you heard Inevitable, and both of these songs come from the upcoming record that's not even out yet, titled Inevitable, and it's really cool that you debuted On a String here on KEXP. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I realized that Inevitable was online on SoundCloud and listened to it. And I had to go back. You are so captivating with your delivery of your music. I really just want to, like, go up to all these boys that I love or girls that I love, even my mother, and just, like, my sister, and just, like, turn you on and be like, this is what I'm trying to say. Do you get it now? Do you understand?
That's awesome.
Yeah, you have a very just personal way of just, like...
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know what that is like for you. What is that like for you to just, I mean, it feels like there's a part of your heart that you're reaching that I don't think I've even reached yet.
It's, you know, it wasn't the most natural thing in the world at first. And then I kind of got to a place where I knew for me, like, as an artist, I needed to start being really, really, like brutally honest with what I was trying to say. And yeah. I know that for me as a fan of music, I always appreciate when artists are giving that level of sincerity. And so, once I kind of broke through that to that place that it was like, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
It kind of became more of it. Now it feels weird to not do that.
Yeah. Not to be brutally honest.
Yeah.
So I read that you're from Sacramento, mm-hmm. and that you moved to L.A.
Yeah.
And then you started doing music in L.A. Mm-hmm. And you were in bands before.
Yeah.
What kind of, you were in like every band, like rock bands, mm-hmm. blues, folk.
Yeah.
Do you remember the names of any of them?
No, they were more like school bands, you know, like if the music school I was into is like everyone was in a million bands. So we didn't really like, it was more like bands for recitals or concerts for school related stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Lacking for a better term. But I backed up a lot of really cool people. It was mainly like backup stuff. And then the only thing I really sang lead on was a blues band that I really enjoyed.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So when you were born into a musical family, mm-hmm. what did your family, singing, playing instruments, what was your family involved in?
Yeah, both my parents are professionals, so it was very much like a weekend warrior mm-hmm. situation. Although my dad is still in a couple bands that gig locally around Sacramento. It's pretty awesome. But it was more, my dad plays bass and guitar, a little bit of piano. And he actually, I'm first generation on my dad's side. And he was brought up playing accordion. So he taught me
wow.
a lot of piano in
yeah.
that. And then my mom was a singer and we always sang together. And, you know, she taught me a lot about singing.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one older brother. And
does he make music?
He dabbles with making beats on like an MPC. He's like a total
cool.
hip-hop head. So he kept me kind of... Actually, he kind of helped me get into wanting to do more of this kind of stuff.
But, cool.
Yeah.
So did you... I read that you played music... You played your music for your friends, and your friends were like, you should play this out.
Yeah.
Did you think that it would develop into something like this? And did you plan on becoming a full-time musician? You're a full-time musician, right?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, cool.
I think when I moved to LA, it was very much a desire of mine. And then I kind of witnessed through school what the majority of the industry is like. And I think when I moved to Portland, it was definitely more on a level of trying to make it an artistic endeavor, and then whatever happened with it happened with it. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to make a living doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this kind of turned out to be what I needed to be doing all along, which was cool.
Yeah.
So it's kind of unexpected, but at the same time, I've always dreamed of it.
Yeah.
So
you had a big year last year.
Yeah.
Crisis was huge.
Yeah.
And you got some attention from someone in particular,
mm-hmm.
Dave Sitek from TV on the Radio.
Yeah.
And you actually just finished a 14-day tour.
I did.
With them, opening
TV,
for
yeah.
them.
Uh-huh.
How many, like, what were the shows, like, huge?
Yeah, they were, like, 1,000-cap rooms all sold out. Because obviously they crush it and they
yeah.
have very dedicated fans. So it was really awesome.
How amazing to see TV on the Radio like for
14
two
times.
Weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah, they rock.
Did you have places in particular that you loved playing?
Highlights for me, the first show we played on the West Coast leg that I played with them was in Big Sur. Which is actually a really tiny little venue at the Henry Miller Library. It's like this beautiful set in the woods venue. It's like, I think it's like 300 cap kind of thing. So it felt like someone's cool, really cool backyard
awesome.
In the woods. And it was like right on the ocean. So that was a really magical feeling. And then DC was actually one of my favorite shows.
Cool.
It was like people, sometimes when you're opening for a band that big, you know, for the opener, people aren't super hyped up. They're, you know, just going to kind of politely watch or, some people get into it, but DC, I felt the momentum and the energy of the entire crowd, which was really cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So how did you and Dave decide to work together?
He hit me up on Twitter randomly one day.
You were very responsive on Twitter.
Yes, I was. Yeah, he direct messaged me. Well, he started following me, which I was like, well, this is crazy. I don't know if this is like actually what's happening. And then he direct messaged me and was like, hey, let's get on the phone. And I was like, had to take a few deep breaths, calm down, and then get on the phone with him. And he was like, I heard you on satellite radio in my Jeep and couldn't believe that I didn't know who you were. And then looked at your profile and was like, how come this isn't huge? And he's like, was just like, I want to help you in whatever way I can. And then he started talking to me about Federal Prism, his label, and how they could put, you know, put out a record with me and we could work together on that. And then, yeah, he was, the thing, the hugest thing for me is that he was like, I don't want to lay hands on this as a producer at all. I just want to promote it. So feel free to use whatever resources I have and make the best thing possible. So,
so the difference between Crisis and Inevitable is Inevitable, or Crisis was recorded, like you recorded Crisis at your house, right? Mm-hmm. And Inevitable was in a studio, so it has a bigger sound. I think that's what I read.
Yeah, I did the majority of the writing and the tracking still at home. And then what I recorded in Dave's studio was vocals. And then I actually had access to his mix engineer, which helped me make the mixes a little bit, because I'm no engineer. I just kind of was doing it out of necessity. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we kind of were able to put that sort of polish on it from there.
Do you feel like Inevitable is a better record than Crisis?
No, not necessarily. I don't think it's worse. I mean, I guess it's a movement forward for me, but I still love Crisis, which is crazy because I've never really liked anything I've put out after I put it out.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, my stuff before was like, okay, that was okay. But I can still listen to Crisis and be like, oh, I actually really like what I did here.
Yeah.
I think Inevitable is just like an evolution, I guess I would say. I wouldn't say it's better or worse. It just has it's all vocal tracks. There's no instrumentals the way that Crisis kind of had like a conceptual vibe. I feel like Inevitable has a concept, but it's just a little bit more track driven and song driven, if that makes sense.
Cool. You have a couple more songs?
I do.
Awesome. Natasha Kometo on KEXP.
Who'll be the one you're taking on tonight?
You're listening to Natasha Cometto on KEXP.
I'm drunk. Right now I'm so in love with you. And I don't want to think too much about what we should or shouldn't do. Lay my hands on heaven and the sun and the moon and the stars while the devil wants to put me in the back of his car. There's nothing quite like the feel of something new. Well, maybe I'm all messed up. Maybe I'm all messed up. Maybe I'm all messed up in you. Well, maybe I'm all messed up. Maybe I'm all messed up. Maybe I'm all messed up. Maybe I'm all messed up in you. Well, maybe I'm all messed up. This is the only time I really feel alive. This is the only time.
You've been listening to a performance by Natasha Cometto here on Audio Oasis. You just heard a Nine Inch Nails cover of The Only Time and Take Out, which is from the album Crisis that was released last year. I love the Natasha Cometto take on covers. You've done a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really great. What inspires you to do covers?
You know, it's funny because I'm prompted to do a lot more than I feel like I end up doing, and the song has to feel right.
Yeah.
And not gimmicky.
Yeah.
And, like, emotionally in concert with what I'm trying to do. So, I mean, I'm a huge Nine Inch Nails fan, obviously. So yeah. That was an easy thing. But actually, a good friend of mine suggested covering, because that's a B-side. But he was like, I think you would kill this song.
And yeah.
I tried it out and it felt good. And I actually started playing it out on the East Coast leg of the TV tour.
I was going to ask.
It went really well. So,
You have Inevitable that's going to be coming out.
Yep.
But you're already working on another album.
Mm-hmm. I'm already am.
How does that work?
I feel like to be constantly creating is probably the best way to do it, especially these days when I feel like back in the day you could put out a record and sort of tour on it for a year and chill and then maybe reapproach writing a new record, whereas I feel like you need more of a constant stream of content now for people to stay engaged.
Keeps you busy.
I hate to put it that way, but
yeah. Did you write on the road? When you were with TV on the radio?
I brainstormed and did like little voice memos and stuff of ideas, but I usually write best when I'm at home and centered and relaxed and can have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I know that you really enjoy working alone.
I do.
Yeah. Has anyone ever like given you feedback and you're like, no, don't?
It's not so much about feedback. I've actually started working with a lot more people this mm-hmm. past year. So that's good. Started collaborating a lot more. And I'm starting to get more into writing for other people and getting
into
that avenue.
For anyone that you can tell us?
No, not yet. But I think for this project, I want to keep it pretty solo just because I feel like getting back to what we were talking about with it being a really honest expression and a true expression. If anyone else enters in, that turns into another thing, which is not to say it's a bad thing, but I just feel like in order for me to feel like it's all coming for me, it needs to all come from me.
Yeah.
So I think with collaborative things, it'd probably fall under a different moniker, mm-hmm. probably.
And speaking of that, you have recently started DJing.
Yeah.
DJ Gigs is your name.
Yeah.
What do you play?
I play mostly just a lot. It's actually all over the place. It's mainly electronic and stuff that's inspiring me. And I'm, for the most part, really into house and techno and garage, so it leans more to that. But I've been getting more into grime, and I love footwork still and drum and bass, so mm-hmm. kind of like to do like a polygenre type of thing. I've actually been DJing for a while. I DJed under my name, and then people would be kind of confused when mm-hmm. they'd come to see me DJ and be like, why aren't you singing? And I'm like, it's a different thing. So me and my managers decided it was probably a better idea to split the two.
Can I ask why you laughed at your DJ name?
it's kind of ironic. I was like, I'm seeking a way to differentiate my DJ gigs from my live gigs. And then one of my friends is like, what about DJ gigs? It's like, that
kinda
works.
Makes sense. To the point.
Yeah.
Do you feel differently when you're performing as a DJ than when you're performing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little more free form. I'm pretty stuck in my set, and what I have a limited group of songs to pick from when I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah.
Earlier in my career, I think I was doing more hybrid sets. I was doing like live PA and then mixing in like loops and samples of other people's stuff. Whereas now my live set is 100% my own content. So, it's just been a nice way to differentiate two things that I'm passionate about. And I feel like DJing keeps me in the loop sort of on new music too, which is great.
Well, you're a captivating performer, so look forward to seeing you DJ.
Yeah, I'm still dancing up there. I'm just not singing.
So 2015,
mm-hmm.
any idea when the album's coming out?
Spring is the most I can narrow it down. Probably April, but nothing in stone yet.
And then you have South by Southwest coming up.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
And anything else? Any other tours besides that?
I mean, I'm definitely trying to get to Europe this year, so that's a big goal.
Have you ever been?
I haven't.
Yeah, you need to go.
Yeah.
It's time.
That is a big goal of mine this year, so we're going to try to make that happen.
You're brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is really awesome.
That.
I really love having you on the show.
I'm so happy to be here, and I love KEXP. So.
We love you, too. You've been listening to a live performance by Natasha Cometto on Audioasis on KEXP.